This is Logan Sekulow. It's been 19 years since 9/11. On today's show, we're talking about how we were impacted and how we respond this many years later.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day?
America today is on bended knee in prayer for the people whose lives were lost here, for the workers who work here,
for the families who mourn. This nation stands with the good people of New York City and New Jersey and Connecticut as we mourn the loss of thousands of our citizens.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Faith, hope, and love are some good things you gave us. And the greatest is love.
I can hear you!
The greatest is love.
19 years ago on this day, at this very hour on this field, 40 brave men and women triumphed over terror and gave their lives in defense of our nation. Their names and their stories are forever inscribed on the eternal roll call of American heroes.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Logan Sekulow for another Logan Sekulow reprogram takeover on this September 11th, again, 19 years after the historic and tragic terrorist attack that happened against our country in New York, Washington, D.C. And I know for a lot of you, you're like, well, of course, I know all this information. We're gonna dive into some pretty interesting topics here today. We obviously are going to be talking about the history. We're going to be looking back. We're going to be playing some of our older clips and interviews with some guests who are related to the situation. But we're also going to be focusing on what the impact of 9/11 is 19 years later and what it looks like for a new group of people, of adults. You're talking about people graduating high school who are not born during they're born after the September 11th attack. You're talking about people who are graduating college this coming year who were 2 years old when this happened. So we now are starting to look into a historical perspective on the September 11th attack, and kids are starting to learn about it a lot differently. We're going to be taking phone calls on that. How you think we need to preserve it, how we need to be talking about it still. Look, it was a little bit of, oddly, in this time, there was a lot of calls, Will, early on to cancel the programs that were going to happen this morning when the 9/11, we saw the president speak, we saw the vice president speak in different locations. The roll call that happens every year at Ground Zero and at what's now the memorial. And they were originally calling to cancel the lights that usually go up in the sky. The two towers, lights, you've seen the iconic imagery in New York. Thankfully, most of that due to outrage from concerned citizens of New York who said we can't just start to erase this even with the pandemic because, again, we are getting to that point where time is shifting and we have to be careful as we're heading into essentially a whole new group of adults that we're not there. And this is not just a small part of history and how it has shaped and impacted people still and how it will continue to impact people.
Right. And this is something that you and I actually talk about rather frequently about remembering this. And as we have young children now, how we will be able to talk about these issues, talk about the this very stark day in American history. But it's something we lived through as young children. Men, you know, I was a sophomore in high school when the attacks happened. And so thinking about it and how we're going to tell the next generation about it is something that you and I talk about frequently and what we're going to get into today on the
podcast. Yeah, we're going to talk about that a lot in the next segment. We're also going to talk about what we're doing to help preserve American history and teach the next generation of kids. That's with our Bald Beagle initiative. That's at baldbeagle.com. You can find out more on the website. You can also give us a call. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this topic, on 9/11 in general, but also, again, how it's still impacting you and what we can do to make sure that the lessons learned are not lost on the next generation. That's at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Again, that's 1-800-684-3110. Give us a call right now. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
And look at yourself and what really matters.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Sorry about that. I had a no sound in my headphones there for a minute. I'm sorry about that. We are taking phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. I want to hear your thoughts and comments on not necessarily the September 11th attack. We've talked about this. Look, I honestly can say, I'm looking at our view count right now. This is where we live in an interesting point, a turning point maybe in society. We're not exactly sure 19 years later. You know, Will, we start thinking about the Pearl Harbor attacks.
Right.
Now, by the time that our generation was, you know, cognitive enough to know what's going on, it was very much a historical fact. It's something we looked back in history and said, oh, remember that? And occasionally, when we were kids, there were still people alive. Up until recently, there were people alive who were part of it. But we were disconnected from it. I remember learning about it as a history lesson, not learning about it as something that happened in modern times. When realistically, we're coming upon that time for September 11th, for 9/11, to where you have to start kind of figuring out how it gets contextualized within history. Because my son, who's 7 years old, he is well aware of it as of this year in second grade. And he's reading all these books. And one of the books he's reading is kind of about, you know, the great disasters and the great crises of America. So to him, he thinks of 9/11 in the same sense of the Titanic. Hmm. It's the same book he's reading. It's the Titanic, it's Pearl Harbor, it's 9/11. Now, obviously, those latter two are attacks on the country, though it was just a big disaster. But like this morning, we turned on the radio and they said, oh, it's been 19 years since the September 11th attack. He goes, oh, it's September 11th. And it wasn't like in a somber tone. It was more right. Like, I know about that. I've learned about that. And I think that is going to be really interesting, not only for those kids. Again, I think that's a 7-year-old. That kid was born well after the September 11th attacks. We're talking about people now who are adults, who are either graduating high school and they were not born when this happened, or those who are graduating college on a normal trajectory were maybe 2 years old when the September 11th attack happened. We were 15. You know, we were kids.
Right.
It has been 20 years goes by, 19 years goes by pretty fast when you're marking on the calendar this event, because everyone, you look at all the comments that are coming in and a few thousand people are watching. And I'll be honest, typically when we do a show on news and talk on Facebook, we're on Facebook Live. There's 7,000 people watching, 6,000, 7,000 people watching live, and then 200,000 throughout the day. There's only 3,000 people watching right now. Now, obviously, that means a lot of you maybe this morning decided when you saw the notification pop up, I've had my fill of 9/11 coverage. And I think that's an interesting point and a turning point in society. Next year will be the 20th anniversary. It'll also be on a weekend next year. But it's a slippery slope because, again, those of you who are joining the workforce this year probably have no recollection of this happening. And then you probably have still people who are 28 may not have that much recollection because those that were 7 or 8 years old, I try to think if something like this happened would I quickly turn on the TV for my 7-year-old to watch?
Right.
Probably not. So you want to protect that innocence as long as possible. So I know we have a family member who is roughly in that age, and she's like, I vaguely remember stuff happening. I remember people talking about it, but I don't really remember it. And I know it's odd for you to think about because so many people, that is such recent history. But it's really not. It's really not. So how much has changed? The world has changed so dramatically in those 20 years where we even saw a trending today on Twitter as a joke, which comes from a comedy special from years ago that actually was a commentary on this. So the actual origin is not necessarily, was in satire. It was, this is how ridiculous would this be? And it was a hashtag all buildings matter. And it ran wild as a joke on Twitter this morning. And part of you looks at that and goes, that's really interesting that we're at the point where, again, people who are a certain age are cool with the fact of making light of it.
Disconnected enough.
Right, yeah.
It's not shocking to them that they could make a statement.
Yeah, it'd be like someone making a Titanic joke. Right. We talked about the fact that, you know, that happens where you can go and tour all these Titanic museums and there's all these things.
Or even a lot of carnivals have the Titanic slide, which
right.
When you think about, like, why is that
thousands of people
why
died.
Why does that exist? And the ability for people to be so disconnected from something that they could have a amusement related to a tragedy.
Right.
Now, we're not seeing that, thankfully, and I don't believe that we ever will.
No, because it was a little different, because it wasn't right. like a natural disaster,
right.
if you will. It was a terrorist attack. We don't see a Pearl Harbor, right? But we did see, you know, even 20 years ago, there was a Pearl Harbor in the Ben Affleck movie
right.
that romanticized the Pearl
right.
Harbor attack. You know, could that happen? Could that be something that is, and that was roughly 40 years disconnected, I'd say, because what? The Pearl Harbor's been about 80 years. Mm-hmm. This was 20 years ago. So it's about 60 years disconnected. So that's in our lifetime when we see the point where there's almost a, you know, because look, and we do romanticize some of it because of the heroes and the whole word hero changed that day.
Right.
When it comes to the police and the fire department and what we consider those first responders as people who you hold up on a pedestal for a specific reason. But what will it look like if we don't protect the history of it, what will it look like in really the next handful of years, 20 years is we're 35. We're 65. What does it look like? When you've had not only a generation who's already grown up, but multiple generations grown up, but we can still see the direct impact of how we deal in society with September 11th, 19 years ago. It's not like for a lot of people, they've moved on. So that's why we decided one of the things we wanted to do, Will, was with Bald Beagle, which is our kids' entertainment education platform that we're launching on YouTube and on baldbeagle.com. Where you can support it, the work there. And people have asked when the first videos are coming up that are for kids. That's going to be coming in the next few weeks. We hopefully will have the first one. The response has been amazing. We really appreciate it because we've seen an outpouring of people who get it. And I think if you watch this show, you get it. You understand why we have to continue to remind kids, protect kids, show them what needs to be told. Now, a lot of it will be done in a lighthearted educational entertainment way. But in the same point, as we age up, I'm sure we'll have content that deals with more serious topics. But it's going to be interesting to see, you know, our next new batch of hires or interns, they live in a fully post 9/11 world, so much so, like I said, they weren't even born. That's going to be interesting.
And it just reiterates to us why things like Bald Beagle are so important to tell the story, to tell our history, and to make sure we don't forget. Now, for the first decade or so after 9/11, when the words remember, never forget, all of these slogans and phrases were used around the media during the coverage of it, it almost felt like, well, that's absurd. Of course we never could. I remember the exact place I was in a classroom right. when my teacher had to go lock the door because there was a call over the intercom that meant there's a code, there's an issue, you need to lock the door and call the office. I remember all that vividly.
Yeah.
But what you're even
bringing
up. And you
were even a kid still.
So it seemed like, that's crazy. Of course, we will never forget the how terrible and severe and life-changing that day was. But then it's so quickly when even the people that are writing for the media, the new generation of the workforce is removed from that, it does start to quickly change. And you even see that by the coverage in the media. This morning, they did. They covered the president speaking in Pennsylvania.
Right.
They covered the reading of the names. They took moments of silence when the planes hit.
Yep.
But as soon as that last one was over and that ceremony was over, they're talking about the NFL. They're talking about the election.
They were previewing the first Bucks game with Gronk and Brady. And look, I understand life has to move on. And you have to be able to progress in society and move. And like, it was a point where they were talking about originally, is this going to be a day we shut down? Is this going to be a day that we take off work? And but we decided as a country, I know it's the president proclaimed it, Patriot Day.
Right. And it has been since 2002. Yes, that was the way that we,
but with that, we said, we're going to continue to work. We're going to continue to do stuff and be engaged in society on September 11th. That's why we're here doing a show. Now, look, we're going into the next segment of the show. I want to hear from you, either some of your stories or what you think about this, specifically when it comes to contextualizing and remembering September 11th and other historical events, and how you're going to teach your kids, your grandkids, how you feel like they're going to see this. I just want your thoughts in general. The next segment, we're going to talk about our work at Bald Beagle, what we're doing, a new project of the ACLJ to create educational entertainment of American history and things in that vein, whether it's how government works, a whole litany of things that we have, a whole list of stuff we're going to be going through. It's going to be a lot of fun, but all of it is really at its heart to protect and support American history and values and faith. And again, that's at baldbeagle.com. I appreciate your support. Financially supporting that really scales our entire production. We can't wait to start producing that for your kids, your grandkids, and your friends and family. But we're taking your phone calls right now. I'd love to hear from you in the next segment. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Again, we're remembering 9/11 and processing it and realizing how it still impacts us today and how it will impact the next generation of Americans that are coming right out of college, right out of high school right now. We got to educate. And that's, again, at ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Logan Sekulow for a Logan Sekulow Reprogram Takeover on this September 11th, 19 years removed. And we are taking calls and comments, not only just about where you were and all that, but how it continues to impact society, how it will continue to impact society, and how we should let it continue to impact society. Make sure, again, people say the never forget and all those kind of things. Look, 9 years ago, we made a documentary called Forever Change. It's available on our website on ACLJ Films, as well as, I believe, maybe on our YouTube page at this point on ACLJ's YouTube. You can go find it there, maybe on Amazon as well. But you can find that film that we made 9 years ago. And it's crazy that we are almost, you know, double that time passed. And we're almost to another 10-year anniversary of September 11th. And it's mentally so much different than I think a lot of people would like, especially right now with the pandemic. You know, our generation, Will, has gone through a lot. People talk about it a lot. You'll see that meme going around that's like, you know, kids that were born in the mid-80s went through September 11th at 15 years old, went through the Great Recession coming out of high school or coming out of college,
right,
2008, and now we're dealing with the pandemic. We've dealt with a lot, and how that will continue to impact us. It's really interesting. And look, I know every generation deals with a lot, but these are going to be very historic times. Let's go to Joyce, who's calling Colorado on line one. And then we have a couple comments even from the president that I want to get to. So Joyce, welcome to the broadcast. If you want to give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. But Joyce, you're on the air.
Thanks, guys, for taking my call. I just wanted to let you know what I was doing on September 11th. I was working for the post office. I was what they called the dispatch clerk, which meant I went in later in the day and stuff. Well, I always had the TV on watching the news and was just in shock. I don't remember if they called me or if I called them, but they just told me to come on in, but let them know that I was outside and they would let me in because we were in lockdown. They did not know what was going on. They did not know anything at that point in time. When I went in, the couriers were told to be extra vigilant, as were the clerks. It was just an eerie situation. When I went to get the mail out of the boxes and everything, not only were the skies clear of planes, you couldn't hear them anyway because they had taken them all down. Birds were not, you couldn't hear the birds. It was really eerie because it was total silence.
Yeah.
And I
think a lot
I'll
of people
forget it.
Yeah. Joyce, and I feel like a lot of people have a similar story in a similar place where they were. I was in college in the school I went to. We had 24-hour classes. So I was coming out of a class that ended at around 8 a.m. Eastern time, 7 a.m. Because classes started at 4 or 5 in the morning. So you come out of those classes and I think I was headed back to my residence there, and that's when we heard it. I think we heard it on the radio. And I remember we got called back into classes later in that day and immediately let go. They said, if you want to go, we understand, go. They didn't cancel school. But that happened. There was a lot of things happening right around that time. If you remember, the stories that were leading into September 11th were very trivial. Like the top headlines were, there was the baseball player who was actually like a 15-year-old but was playing in a 12-year-old league. Like there was that kid was like the big story. And then like
Danny Almonte.
Yeah. Danny Almonte was like the number one story in America. That and there were shark attacks. There were shark attacks happening throughout Florida and throughout the coast in general. Those were the two big stories. And then after that, everything changed. And phone lines are lit up right now, and hopefully we'll get through some of you guys. But I want to hear, we've talked about protecting the legacy of September 11th, making sure people still, we say never forget, like you said, but again, we're going to a generation that wasn't there. So this is from President Trump just this morning.
Our sacred task, our righteous duty, and our solemn pledge is to carry forward the noble legacy of the brave souls who gave their lives for us 19 years ago. In their memory, we resolve to stand united as one American nation, to defend our freedoms, to uphold our values, to love our neighbors, to cherish our country, to care for our communities, to honor our heroes, and to never, ever forget.
Yeah, absolutely. So that, again, for President Trump, kind of reiterating some of the stuff that we've been saying here, because we are at this tipping point where American history not only is a bit under attack in general, also, we're just getting to that point where it's now becoming this specific instance of September 11th, which then led to the war in Iraq, which then led to the war in Afghanistan, and which led to so many different things. Really, we're still seeing the repercussions of so much of it today, is starting to become foggier and foggier and more ancient history than maybe ever before. And specifically on election years, we're always reminded more of it, but it is one of those things where they will quickly, you'll see, like you said, the news, I'm worried we got all the news sources up here on TVs, they've all moved on,
right,
and are now talking about the president, and they're talking about tapes, and they're talking about, you know, ridiculous things, when really, and I'm not saying we need to sit here and dwell. I didn't want to come on here and do a show where we just sat here somberly for an hour. That's why I want to open up this conversation with you. With you, the listener, that says, what do we do? How do we progress? At some point, it will become that way, where history will move on. I mean, it's weird what sticks out, Will, because you know, we often talk about, you know, what were we doing and what were we excited? I mean, that day, there's a couple albums that came out. I remember that was, like, those are, like, I don't remember release days, but I remember specifically the POD Satellite record,
right,
and Nickelback Silver Side Up came out. I was very excited to go pick up both of those records. I know you tried and the stores were closed.
Right.
And it's weird because we were 15. That's what you got to remember. We're 15. We're teenagers. So for us, it was like, oh, what is this? Well, now I can't get my POD record.
Well, and we lived very far away from where the attacks
happened. Yeah, we were in Florida.
It was an entire shutdown. Like, businesses closed for the day. It was one was on the roads. There was no one was flying. All the flights were grounded. It was a very
in Orlando, like, that was so tourist
responded, right.
We were in Orlando. It's so tourism centered. It's not unlike how it is there now. Thankfully, things are starting to pick up. But there, a couple months ago, where you went, it's eerily quiet.
Right.
Where everything was, you know, you go to Disney World and it was shut down. They were shutting down the theme parks that day. Those are the things that. And now my brother was in Washington D.C. during the attack. So I also dealt with that we were disconnected from my brother. He was in college, also working at the Justice Department, and. You were trying to get in touch with him, and the phone lines were down. Those are the kind of things we remember, and that's how, because it was such a vast issue, and a vast, I don't want to downplay it, vast attack, everyone had like some little connective tissue. It wasn't just this thing that was happening out there. But for the kids that are coming up right now, and adults that are coming into the workforce right now, it is one of those things that just sort of happened historically. You know, I mean, the books, I looked up, the books my son are reading are called I Survived, and it's I Survived the Titanic. I Survived 9/11. You know, in its first person accounts. And it's so interesting to see that change. And we only have a minute coming up till the next break. When we get back, we will have more content to talk about. We are going to play an interview at the end of the show that we did a few 9/11s ago with America's mayor at the time, Rudy Giuliani. So you're going to hear that at the end of the show. We're going to tee that up. That's going to be coming about a half hour from now. But until then, I want to hear from you, 1-800-684-3110. Those of you who are no longer with us after this 30 minutes, who their station don't pick it up, check it out. We're on ACLJ.org. We are on the ACLJ app. You can find us on Facebook and all your favorite social media platforms. We're there for you. Jay Sekulow Live is, and the Logan Sekulow Reprogram, the show Will and I host each and every day. And support our work and support our new initiative for kids to protect American history. That is Bald Beagle with a B, like the dog. BaldBeagle.com. Again, we appreciate it. We got another half hour coming up on the Logan Sekulow Reprogram Takeover of Jay Sekulow Live.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now your host, Logan Sekulow.
Welcome to the Logan Sekulow Reprogram Takeover of Jay Sekulow Live here. We are talking about the continual impact of September 11th attacks and, again, how we respond 19 years later and how we are hearing responses, Will, from all over the world. Now, people are talking about, you know, Will, the pandemic be the 9/11 for this kid's generation, where all of a sudden they had to start wearing masks, where, you know, at this point, hundreds of thousands of people are dying. That will be interesting to see how this is remembered 20 years from now, because we are living in we're living in a very interesting time. 9/11, I think we talked about this before, it was very isolated. It was the three planes attack. It happened. Now, the impact of it was felt for years and still being felt, where the pandemic has been this slowly 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, you know, it keeps going and going on, where people are slowly dying and the world tries to get back to normal. And it's going to be different, because it's not like it's this one isolated moment. It's a moment the whole world is going through. Right. And how that will be treated will be really interesting to see 19, 20 years from now.
We're still living it up the point, though, of how some things changed. Like, you think about air travel before 9/11.
Yeah.
You could go to the gate to greet your family getting off a flight. You didn't have to have a ticket to go through security.
Yeah.
Security was just walking through a metal detector. There was a very loose in the sense
casual.
of what it was, just going to the airport. You could go to the gate. Now, we know, like, you can't imagine doing that now, that it's very much you have to have your ticket, you have to take your shoes off, you have to take your belt off, you go through the millimeter wave scanner. Like, there's so much difference, but you don't even think twice about it.
I see a lot of comments coming. I do want to correct. Yes, four planes. I'm sorry. I said three. It was just a slip. I'm sorry.
Right. Specifically, the Pennsylvania flight, which the heroes on the flight were able to stop it from getting to. They thought it was targeting probably the White House or the Capitol. And because they overtook the hijackers, they were able to stop that from being another government building or landmark being hit, like the World Trade Centers.
Absolutely. But you are right. I mean, we look at this, and someone brought up comments. They said, you know, will their change be that they're in masks? That's what they'll remember. Or maybe that's a permanent change. Is that a change? Hopefully not. But is that a change like security at the airport, like taking your shoes off at the airport, the things that seemed trivial even at the time? I mean, the taking your shoes off is now so normal that I prepare which shoes I wear to take off.
Right.
So I think that you will see that. You will see some ramifications that are not known and will be felt for decades to come. Let's take some phone calls here. A lot of people are calling in. Actually, we only have 2 minutes, so we're not going to do that in this segment. We're going to do it in the next segment. We're going to take some more phone calls, because after that, we are going to be going to do a throwback to a couple years back. We had on Mayor Rudy Giuliani, and you're going to hear that, because I think it's important to contextualize what's going on with September 11th. You know, those are pieces that can live on forever that we should be able to play, and you guys should be able to hear it. So we'll do that coming up at the end of the show. So we appreciate all of you who are watching right now. We are going to take as many phone calls as possible in the next segment. So if you could give us a call, there are a couple lines open at 1-800-684-3110. As history has changed, Will, we also have to look back on recent history with 9/11 being brought up by someone like Representative Omar.
Right.
So as we head to the next segment, maybe this will give you some fodder to call in. Let's not forget what she had to say about the September 11th attack not too long ago.
CARE was founded after 9/11 because they recognized that some people did something and that all of us were starting to lose access to our civil liberties.
Because some people did something. Also, Will brought up the fact that CARE, the Center for Islamic, American Islamic Relations, who, you know, don't care for us too much. They were actually founded in the mid-90s. But beyond that, remember that this is how history will be rewritten. If we don't stand up and say something, if we don't remember where we came from, what we did, what's happening. And that's why we have even started an elementary school-aged program at baldbeagle.com. Entertaining education video content and could use your support. Go to that website, baldbeagle.com, to support the work and to support our production for here on out. We'll be right back with your phone calls on Jay Sekulow Live.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to the Logan Secular Reprogram Takeover at JSecular Live today for the year September 11th, 2019. And we have a lot of phone calls and a lot of people calling in with their stories from 9/11, but also hopefully some we'll talk about some of the impact they think that could be happening. And how, again, we've been talking about how we're going to educate the next generation on something like this. Again, I talked about how my son is learning about it in the same kind of class that they're learning about something like the Titanic. And we all have to start realizing that time has progressed 19 years. And even what's crazy to think is even your children's teachers, a lot of them were 6, 7 years old at this point, because you have teachers who are in their early mid-20s at this point. So even they're teaching it from a exclusively historic point of view, not from some people who lived it. So how do we respond to that? How do we treat that? How do we keep going? How do we make sure things are not slowly just removed from society? Or is it time? Is it time to remember it? And like Will said, you have your 15 minutes up front, you talk about it, and then we move on with our day, which is kind of what the news sources have done. All your major networks have done that. I'm not sure. I think there's obviously time to move on and time to that grief can, you can move on from grief, but I think we have to still contextualize history. Well,
I also think it's interesting to point out before we go to the phone calls that this was one of the last major events like this. Obviously, this and then the war that began following, yeah. But one of these global news items, and this was a terrorist attack that happened pre-social media.
Yeah,
and so we don't have this world, and I think that was a big part of the reason we were able to unify.
Yeah.
in the wake of it was because we didn't have all of this fighting and bickering, yeah, and polarization right after it that is so easy to fall into immediately in the world in the age of social media.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm looking at our comments right now, and I'll be honest, quite a few of you guys are talking conspiracy theories now, 19 years later, about this. We obviously heard people talking about those things, right, early on, but like you said,
it wasn't
they weren't
as easy to share or as easy, yeah, to find, even, right? Yeah. Because it wasn't so interconnected with everyone so easily that what we do. I watched the news, broadcast news, yeah, in a classroom. Basically, my school stopped all classes and we went to the few classrooms that had cable.
Yeah.
Not every classroom had that kind of access to the outside world. So we all kind of went to classrooms to watch broadcast news. It would be completely different now. Everyone would pull out their phone and be, sure, able to watch their choice of broadcast in the moment. So I just think that's an interesting way to think about it as well.
Absolutely. Let's take some phone calls. Let's go to Allison, who's been on hold for a little while in Florida. Allison, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So I was about 18, 19. I was working in a grocery store deli at the time of 9/11, and we had one of those little, you know, under the kitchen cabinet mounted black and white. No, it wasn't color TVs in the back. And I remember it was like, I was out front and I'm like, where is everybody? Everybody's not out here working, you know? So I go out, see what's going on, go back there. And they're all crowded around this TV. And as we're watching and you're kind of, am I seeing what I think I'm seeing? All this other stuff. And then we see the second plane hit and we're like, oh my goodness, what is going on? And in that moment, there's not this flood of knowledge of what's going on. All you're seeing is point blank what you're seeing. And in that moment, we had to go back out there and serve customers who were, there wasn't this mass text that, hey.
Yeah, they're unaware.
That happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nobody knows. So you're literally looking at somebody and you're trying to reconcile, are we under attack? Like, what's going to happen next?
Yeah.
You're trying to reconcile what you've just saw, but still, you're trying not to cause a mass hysteria
right.
with these people that don't know anything. And it, to me, it was just kind of like, here we are this many years later. But still today, stuff like this is happening where people are totally unaware of what's going on around them.
Yeah, Allison, and I think that's a good point. Is at the moment, and I think it's easy to look back and say that, and see this and say, oh, okay, yeah, that happened. It was one day. These four planes went down. Here's what happened. But at the time, we had no idea what was coming that day, what was coming the next day, what was coming a few hours later. There was no insight. You know, we didn't know where the end was going to be for this. It inevitably ended up being a war, and a war that somewhat is still being fought today. You know, 18 years since 19 years since 9/11, what, 17 years since the start of the initial war? Probably roughly 2002, 2003.
In Afghanistan, right?
Yeah. So, you know, we still are seeing that ripple effect from that. But I think you're right, Allison. It is true. It's kind of like how we deal with this situation moving forward. Let's go ahead and take a couple more calls before we head into our final segment, which will actually be a throwback interview with Mayor Rudy Giuliani. Let's go to Kelly, who's calling on line one in Pennsylvania. Kelly, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. So I'm a military wife and stationed in Pennsylvania, which we're just about an hour out of New York.
Sure.
So that day, it was the weekend after the air show, or the week after the air show. So my husband was home. Everybody got called into work. We're so close to them, to New York, that we didn't know if we were a target. I can remember the school buses being stopped and searched. Kids were stuck at school for quite some time. They were trying to get our kids home. And there isn't a year that goes by that those feelings don't come back. It was really a scary time. And I don't know that we're not thinking about that. I mean, we're not thinking about that, and anything could happen, and we just should be prepared.
Yeah, I think you're right, Kelly, that it's hard not to immediately go back when you hear those sound bites from President Bush at the time, or you hear some of the songs we were playing that came out directly after the 9/11 attack. It's hard not to place yourself right back in that space. And I'm not really concerned, again, with people like Kelly who were directly involved, or people like even you and I, who at least had some connective tissue there and were 15. We weren't 7. What I'm concerned is people that were 7 who are now 27. Or the people who are just now, like I said, graduating high school or graduating college, who have no recollection of this happening. And then you have kids like my kids and your kids who may be learning sort of warped history or not understanding the impact that happened. I don't think our kids are learning warped history. They're just learning history from a historical, like I said, point of view that again, they loop this in some of your kids' classes with something like the Titanic. And we're not living far enough removed, I think, to where we can get to that point. And it's really interesting, and it's an odd time with the pandemic, plus thinking about this, because things, I'd say, this is the closest it's been to feeling like a immediate post 9/11 world is kind of what we lived through the last 6 months, where you said flights were shut down, that everything is locked down, you can't travel from here to there, it feels very restrictive, and at least that one was, it was from this incident. This terrorist attack is the reason. This one has been so much different with the pandemic.
Well, and I think that Pearl Harbor, we mentioned that earlier in the show, is a very good example of something similar that happened, an attack by Imperial Japan that took us into World War II. And that was, Roosevelt called it the day that will live in infamy forever. Yeah. Now,
that kind of rolls off your tongue at this point.
Right. And I think that that's how we should look at this if we want to treat it with the respect it needs and with the remembrance that it needs. How do we, as people who were not alive during the Pearl Harbor attack, how do we view that through history? And almost use that as a check on ourselves that we need to be very well versed in our history. And that kind of goes in line with the Bald Beagle Project, that we want to make sure history is taught, these things that should live in infamy forever, that changed America, that we remember them and that we treat it with that respect.
Like, I want to say to our phone call, we have a couple calls on hold. I'm sorry we're not going to be able to get to any more calls today. So because this next segment we're going to play is with Mayor Rudy Giuliani. It was done by my dad just a couple years ago on September 11th. I thought it was important to wrap up this show in a way where you can kind of, again, have the most insider point of view. And it's a terrific segment. If you haven't heard it before, you heard it last year or the year before, it's one that I like to play back because it's a very unique point of view. Obviously, Mayor Giuliani was hugely involved in that, being the mayor of New York. That's when he became known as America's mayor. And you get to hear from him coming up in the next segment. These segments don't get old in the sense of, yes, it was a couple years back, but you look at history, and though he may not mention the pandemic and everything that's going on, it's still something that you need to listen to and look back on. And Will, you brought up Bald Beagle. I'm going to say this because it'll be the last time today you hear about it. Bald Beagle is our brand new YouTube channel and website dedicated to entertaining and educating your kids in American history. When we live in a weird time where American history classes and history classes in general are being called to be abolished and removed or altered or changed, where you see things like the Washington, D.C. with the statues and the monuments and all the changes happening, we have to make sure we protect and explain the sometimes complicated but great history of our nation and historical events, historical people, how our government works. And we got to make sure that we educate our children, specifically right now when they are locked down at home for a lot of you, or they are getting warped education. You can do that at baldbeagle.com. See our promo video, support the work financially, because obviously we're scaling it based upon what kind of resources that we can get to help go to kids where they are on YouTube and explain the truth of what's happening. Thanks for the show. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Talk to you next week.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
We are joined by my colleague and friend and the former mayor of New York City, America's Mayor Rudy Giuliani. Mayor Giuliani, thanks for being with us today, especially today. You and I are working on other matters together now, but you take a day like this and you reflect back. Thanks for being with us. I really appreciate it.
So, well, Jay, I really appreciate talking to the audience and to you. Thank you.
So let's talk about what it was like for you that very day. I was in Norfolk, Virginia. Jordan was in Washington. And then the first notification of a plane, and the first reports were that it was a small plane that hit the North Tower, one of the towers, and it was on the news, obviously, is a big deal, but nobody had the significance of it till a few minutes later. What was it like for you as the mayor?
Same. Well, the same thing, really. I was having breakfast, finishing a breakfast, with my counsel, Dennison Young, and with Bill Simon, who eventually ran a year later for governor of California. And Bill was a former assistant U.S. attorney of mine. And we were discussing running for governor of California, the pros and the cons of the Republican primary. And all of a sudden, one of my detectives walked in, Patty Verone. It was primary day in New York, so we were kind of getting started a little bit later than usual. And she leaned over and she said, a twin-engine plane, just like you said, a twin-engine plane hit the North Tower, and that the fire was pretty bad. So we rushed down there. I just drove that stretch going down to the ceremony, and it's eerily, it looks, you know, it reminds me every step of the way I can remember what I saw.
Yeah.
But I immediately saw a big flame, and then all of a sudden I saw another big flame, and Bernie Kerik, the police commissioner, called me and said, Mayor, a second plane has hit. Of course, that's when we knew it was a terrorist attack.
When I remember watching you, and you brought so much comfort to the people of New York and frankly to the country, but the concern was, I mean, Jordan had this in Washington, was that it within a very short period of time, I went through the time frame with everybody, starting at 8:46 a.m. Till the North Tower collapse at 10:28, you had all of those incidents within literally less than 2 hours. So that we know it was a very coordinated attack. How long did it take to realize the nature of the coordination? And what was the, you had first responders literally running into a building that was going to collapse.
Well, you know, the of course, they didn't know it was going to collapse at that point. The thinking was Pete Gansey was the fire chief who ran the incident. And he was extremely experienced. He was the best in New York City that we had. And his estimation, when I arrived there, I went immediately to him. And I said, Chief, what's going on? How bad is it? He said, it's terrible. He said, I think we have the rest of the day to deal with this. But there'll be nothing left of this building eventually. But he wasn't anticipating an implosion. He was anticipating the building falling down in stages. So all of a sudden, I saw this man jump out of the 101st, 102nd floor, escaping the flames. And Jay, it was like, it was a shock. I mean, I just stopped for a second, and I said, Chief, can we send helicopters up there? And he said to me, we can't. The flames are too bad. And I had this terrible feeling that I was looking at those people above the flames, and they all were going to be dead. And we were totally powerless to help them. And it was the first really terrible feeling where your stomach feels like it's going to sink. And then the rest of the day was a combination of sometimes horrible incidents like that, seeing bodies crushed, and sometimes unbelievable people coming forward, running into the building, saving people, carrying people out. It was just a total contradiction.
Yeah.
Jordan. Yeah, Mayor, the attack was generationally defining. I was, again, I was in college in D.C., a lot of friends from New York and New Jersey at GW, and this, again, for our generation, you're kind of still the mayor of New York, and that's this is what we remember. I mean, this it also defined going to war in Afghanistan and Iraq, ultimately. I mean, and the imagery, though, what is it like to see? I saw, you know, I thought today, I saw at the ceremony in New York, and I wonder if you noticed this, too, that some of the police officers there were probably young children. Probably 10 years old when this occurred, younger than me, and now they're there at the ceremony.
Yeah, go ahead, Mayor.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, the whole generation has developed, right? And I meet a lot of people and their parents will bring the child up to me and say, you know, he wasn't here or she wasn't here on September 11th. May I tell them what it's about? And I have to give like a 2 or 3 minute history lesson.
Yeah.
But the reality is, I think there's probably more intense memory of this because it's continuing. You know, here we are 17 years later. It's a pretty stark memory for those who were alive, and even for some of the younger ones, because the war is still going on. I mean, we're still fighting in Afghanistan, and we're still defending London and Paris and, to some extent, New York and our homeland. People are being killed by Islamic extremist terrorists right now. So I think President Bush was right when he said this would be a very long war, and our patience had to exceed theirs.
And by nature, they're very, I mean, we know this historically, the Islamic extremists are patient. Their patience can be intergenerational patients. I mean, the president has done a very effective job, and I don't want to get into politics at all, on ISIS. But there's still the threat of radicalization and the impact that it can have on our cities is something that I think we're still living with at a very significant level. But obviously, you're much more of an expert on this than I am. What is your sense globally?
Jay, I don't know that we get to see it as much here in the United States. I think I'm right about this. I don't think this is really a terrible problem in New York, even Detroit, where there's a heavy Muslim population. I still think we have the largest, by far, segment of the community is integrated and assimilated and American. But this is a big problem with our allies in England, France, Germany. And they have a very radicalized, much more radicalized extremist community than we do. Which may be why they have so many more attacks than we do.
I look at this globally as well, and there's new alignments in the Middle East now that we didn't have before with Israel, in alignment with, you know, in relationships with Jordan and Egypt and Saudi Arabia, and then you've got the threat of Iran. Let's talk about the, you know, here you've got the jihadists here. Bin Laden was, of course, this was an Al-Qaeda attack. Where do you see those groups? If you look at Al-Qaeda, ISIS, the Iranians that are continuing, the regime continuing to fund terror groups. How do you see that coming together? How do you see that now?
I think we're pretty darn safe here. I really do. I think this is, it could change easily. And I think, you know, and I know you and I both represent them, so they may think out, but I think President Trump has made us safer. And his administration, I think they focused on this more singularly than we were for a few years. But I do think they are completely organized in their purpose, so that even though there are natural divisions between Iranian terrorists and, let's say, Al-Qaeda, Sunni, Shia, they're not fighting with each other right now, except maybe in Syria a bit, in Yemen. They want to bring us down, and then they're going to figure, then they'll probably go to war with each other.
Yeah.
So they have a singular purpose. Iran is the most dangerous because it's a nation state. Even though Al-Qaeda, whatever exists of it, ISIS, is very violent, maybe more violent, Iran is the real danger because this is a nation state that is on the way to being nuclear, and they're supporting terrorism more than anyone else.
Well, let me say this, Mayor. We're getting people from Facebook are posting messages, and a lot of them are thanking you for your service to the country, especially during that time. Gret on Facebook said Mayor Giuliano was a hero to us all that day, and that is very true. You and the President Bush at the time were a very calming influence, very steady hands and leadership, and I appreciated your leadership then, and I've appreciated our friendship over the years and decades. And it's, of course, an honor to work with you now. But, Mayor, thanks for being with us on this important day. Thank you so much.
Gordon, Jay, thank you very much, and God bless everybody.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.